We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to welcome you back to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. I haven't mentioned this in a while, but you can catch this broadcast two times here on WMIE, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, and then over on WWBC 1510 AM, you can catch that program at 10:30. And if you happen to miss it there, you can go to WMIEFM.com and go to the Listen on Demand feature. I think that has moved, if I'm not mistaken. I think the tab on that has relocated. And so if you just go and hit Listen on Demand, and it'll give you an option to type in a date. It used to be down at the bottom of the page, but I believe it's moved now. So, but it's there. It's there. And so maybe you heard something and said, man, that was so good, I think I want to go back and hear that again. Or maybe I didn't catch everything, and that's a good way to do it. And you can actually download that, you know, onto your smartphone, onto your computer. I've done that. I was like, hey, I'm going to download that, and that way I can listen to it whenever I want. But lots of ways to listen. To the Refresh radio program. I want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air. They have been faithful partners with us here on the Refresh radio program for most of the time that we have been on here, if not all of the time. They've been also providing professional sales services and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. And let me tell you, they go all over Brevard County. They work on all types of units. They work on package units, or some people call them mobile home units. They work on condensing units and air handlers. They work on, what's the other one, mini split systems, micro split systems, whatever those are called. I think it's mini split. They can do all of that. And, you know, maybe your air conditioner is working just fine, but your plug in your kitchen isn't working. They can take care of that as well. They work in residential settings and commercial settings. In fact, I had an electrical issue at church, and the tech that they sent out said, oh, I think I know what the problem is. And it wasn't a supply problem. It was an outlet that needed to be switched because it was interfering with another outlet. He said, I need to put in a different outlet and put a sticker on it, and that'll take care of your problem. I never would have thought of that in a million years. Thank God for people who are experts in their field. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. They provide emergency service if it's necessary, but one thing is always certain: they strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So write down this phone number, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Write it down where you can find it, and that way when you are in need of reliable service for your air conditioner, your heater, or your electrical supply, you can give them a call and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So last week we were talking to you about our 70th anniversary service, and this week we want to invite you out to our Father's Day services this coming Sunday at 10:30 of a morning, and we would love to have you come and celebrate with us. I always tell ladies, you know, the ladies, when it comes time for Mother's Day, they dread getting compared to the Proverbs 31 woman because she's perfect in everything. You know, no matter what she does, she always excels at it. And there's like, I don't know anybody that measures up to that. And I say, well, let me tell you about the standard that fathers get measured to. We get measured against the Heavenly Father, and no one is ever going to measure up completely to that role model. So we just try and do the best we can, do better than we've done before. And so we are going to be honoring the men of God, and we're going to just be celebrating what God has done in the lives of men. Do you realize that men play a vital part in the kingdom of God? They are very, very influential. There was a study that was out years ago, and if a child in the family got saved, but no one else in the family got saved, there was a small percentage of those families, moms, dads, siblings, that came to faith in Christ. If the wife, the mother, got saved, but none of the other family had, there was a larger percentage than what we just talked about that eventually got saved, and we thank God for that. But when the men put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the percentage of households went up dramatically. The majority of those families became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not diminishing the role of women, not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there is influence there when people put their faith in Jesus and they live for Jesus. And I balance out the equation, there are a lot of people who have come to faith in Jesus because of praying mamas, praying grandmothers, and praying wives. So I'm not insulting anybody. I'm commending both. I'm just saying, from a statistical standpoint, if you want your family to succeed in the faith, you be a living role model of a person who not only philosophically believes in Jesus, but daily lives believing in Jesus, and watch what a difference that makes in your family. Today we're going back to Luke chapter 12. Friday, we were continuing our study here. We're going to pick it up today in verse number 45, but for context, let's begin reading Luke chapter 12, verse number 41. Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." So in this parable here, Jesus is describing a steward, a faithful steward, a wise steward, who has been given the responsibility of meeting the needs of the master's other servants and setting them up to succeed in their ministry. I think that's very valuable. I believe that all of us need to be of the same mind and saying, look, I'm not here just to succeed for myself. I'm here to succeed for everyone. And so we all want to succeed. And so there's a blessing in verse number 43 that the master will provide when he comes for the person who has been fulfilling their responsibilities. And verse 44 says, truly, Jesus says, "I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." And so I put, it's a test. Everything you've got is a test. Are you faithful to discharge your duties? Are you faithful to live what you believe? Verse number 45 has the most impactful three-letter word that I can think of in the English language, and it says, "but." In other words, the situation that was just described is one of the possible solutions But it's not the only solution. What we've talked about on Thursday's program and Friday's program was a choice that the steward made in how he was going to discharge his master's business. But there were other choices that could be made, and that's what Jesus begins to address here. And so he says, but. So if the faithful and wise steward makes decisions that are not faithful to what he has been assigned and not acting according to wisdom, there are not going to be the same benefits. Instead, there are going to be consequences. So let's take a look. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and an hour when he is not aware. And so we tend to forget sometimes that the God who has been faithful to his promise to save us and faithful to his promise to never leave us and never forsake us, he is the God who has made the promise that he is coming again. And the Bible says he's not slack concerning his promise, but he's long-suffering. But sometimes we forget that there is going to be a day. The world does not believe, the world scoffs at the concept that a person who was dead was raised from the dead, and they scoff even more at the thought of a guy who walked the earth 2,000 years ago is going to come back and rule and reign. They don't believe that. And so that's why you see that there are countries that are behaving in ungodly and unbiblical ways. Now, the farther we get away from God, the farther we get away from the concept that there's accountability and that there's either benefits or consequences, the more abuse people in authority begin to dole out on the people that they are supposed to be caring for and setting up to succeed. They flip the script and begin to think that it is all about the people in authority instead of it being God has equipped the people in authority to set the saints up to succeed. That's the reality. And so don't forget that Jesus is coming again. Don't forget that there is the Bema Seat of Christ where we're going to have to give an account of what we've done. Don't forget that just because you have been entrusted with something, that means that you're going to make all of the right decisions. I try and make a lot of decisions. John Maxwell talks about the law of goodwill, I believe is what he titled that. And he said, you know, whenever you come onto a job, you are given a certain amount of goodwill by the people. They're willing to walk with you through some seasons. Even if you don't get everything right, they're willing. He said, every time you make a good decision, it's like people deposit more goodwill into your bank account, and every time you make a bad decision, they make a withdrawal from that account of goodwill. And he said, everything goes okay until you've made so many bad decisions that you reach into your pocket to pull out where your reserve of goodwill was, and then you find out that there's none left. And he said, and it's at that point in time that I get to introduce you to the ministry of U-Haul, because they will be showing you the door and you will be relocating and finding the next assignment that God has for you. It is not my job as pastor is not to get the saints to be serving me. My job is to set them up to succeed in serving the King. I am a servant, period. I have a reserved parking spot that does not have a sign at Merit Assembly of God. It doesn't need a sign because I'm the first one there. And my parking spot is the farthest one away from the building so that I can make those closer parking spots available for people who may not be able to get around as well as I do. I know that a lot of churches have a lot of different mindsets and things like that, and, you know, the pastor has a reserved parking spot. I'm not here to condemn that. I'm just telling you what God laid upon my heart, and that is, you know, I'm going to park where it makes life easier for the saints. And sometimes, occasionally, that changes a little bit, because whenever we have a fellowship dinner, on that day, everybody parks in the parking lot instead of parking by the front doors of the church. And so when that happens, it looks like during Sunday school, and the fact that, you know, a lot of people don't get there on time for the beginning of the worship service, it looks like there's nobody in the church. And if that happens, then I get up and I go grab my keys and I move my car from my one parking spot to another, so I serve the people who are coming to church that day and say, yes, the church is open. The first week or so that we were at the church, there was a person that came across the street and said, hey, is the church for sale? No, the church wasn't for sale. It's still not for sale. We're here to do business. So this wicked servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. And because of that, he begins to beat the male and female servants, and he begins to treat them with abuse instead of making sure that they have the portion they are supposed to have in their due season. I make this statement. I said, I know people that their next act of mercy will be their first one. And to be honest with you, a lot of those people are very successful by the world standards, but I can't go there. Mercy is my primary gifting, but exhortation has been making, you know, I don't know if you've ever watched a horse race where mercy, you know, would represent the horse that's way out in front, and then there's a second horse that's making a late charge for the finish line. Exhortation is gaining. You know, somebody told me one time that, you know, sometimes the most merciful thing that you can do is step out of the way and let exhortation step in and teach somebody. And that's fine. I want people to succeed, but I don't ever want to get into the place where I'm treating saints that Jesus died for in an abusive manner. So oftentimes I say, why would we be the accuser of the brethren? Why would we be doing the devil's business instead of the Father's business? Let me tell you this. The devil is also the abuser of the brethren, not just the accuser of the brethren. Well, that'd make a good sermon point there. And we shouldn't be doing that either. We are supposed to be building one another up, not tearing each other down. So there is a difference between the way that the kingdom of God operates, which is all to the glory of God, and the way that the world operates, which is every man for himself. And, you know, if I can abuse you and promote myself, then, oh, well, you know, survival of the fittest. That's not the way the kingdom of God is. Don't be abusing people. Okay, let me say that again in case you didn't get that. Don't be abusing people. Jesus is not an abuser, and neither should we be. So if he says the master is delaying his coming and begins to beat the male and female servants or abuse them and to eat and drink and be drunk. So I've got a friend that said this. I know that alcohol is extremely popular. I know that they spend a lot of money on advertising. But let me tell you, I've had people that I've known, and I've seen what the bottom of that bottle did to them. I know how it left them physically damaged, relationally damaged, financially damaged, and in many cases, it killed them. Many cases, it just it ruined ministries. Many cases, it caused them to just be publicly mocked. Sometimes other people suffered damage. Sometimes other people were killed. Sometimes those people went to jail. Don't flirt with the concept of drinking alcohol. And here, because I'm not stupid, because I've been around the block, let me just go ahead and tell you what people say. Well, Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Yeah, that was in the first century. So he was using that medicinally. I don't think that you are going to have a situation in your life right now where the best prescription is to consume alcohol. And most of the people who defend the practice are not there to take a little wine. They're there to take a lot of it. And so there's a verse that says, wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler, and the person that partakes of them is not wise. I don't want you being foolish. This person that is being talked about here in Jesus' parable began to behave in a way that the master would never have behaved. There wasn't bankruptcy insurance. You know, you hear me talk about there wasn't a safety net. There weren't insurance companies. And so it was, you worked so that you would be taken care of. That's why in the one parable about the laborers going into the harvest field, and the reason that the guy kept going back and hiring more people was there was more in the harvest field, and he didn't want it to waste. It needed to get harvested, and it needed to get harvested then. So don't behave in a manner. So anything that causes you a loss of a sober mind, it causes you to not function mentally the way that you want to, make the choice not to participate in those things. Be sober-minded. Jesus on the cross, they offered him something that would have dulled his pain, and he said no. Even then, he was saying no to that. So it says here, abusing and then behaving in a manner that his master would not, said the master of that servant will come on a day. So we have talked about that already. And here's when he's coming, when he is not looking. When he is not looking for him. So that servant that's abusing doesn't expect that the master is going to show up that day, because he's been gone so long that he has lost the expectation of it. So one of the things that I challenged my staff when I was in business was we would have supervisors that would come in. They would drop in unannounced. And I would challenge my staff this way. We are going to run our department today as if the supervisor is coming to visit today. And, you know, if you live your life that way, then you never have to panic if the visitor arrives unannounced. And so one, I guess my last supervisor with one company that I worked for before it lost its lease, he would make the trip over. He would spend about a minute and a half walking through the stock room, about a minute and a half walking around the display floor, maybe 5 minutes looking at the books, and he'd take his jacket off, and he would spend the rest of the day on the phone with managers of other stores. He'd made an hour-long trip over to our store and basically had very little interaction with me. At the end of the day, he'd put his jacket back on and he'd left. After he did that for several months, I said, are you mad at me or something? And he said, no, why would you think that? And I said, well, you know, this is what you do. You do it month in and month out. And I said, you end up spending all your time talking on the phone to these other stores. And he said, Bob, I don't worry about your store. Everything is going to be done right. Everything is going to be in order. So I'm not here having to solve problems at your store. The people I'm talking to on the phone, there are problems there that I have to address, and I just got to come around because they make me come around. But I know what I'm going to find when I come and see you. Don't you want to live your life that way? That when Jesus comes, that you not he not only knows what he's going to find. By the way, one of the things Jesus said is when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Make sure he's going to find faith in you. Make sure he's going to find faith in me. But one thing is for sure, he is coming back. He is coming back, and there are going to be people who are looking for him and people who are not expecting for him. And it says, and in an hour when he is not aware. I believe that in these last days that our awareness of the presence of God, the purpose of God, the person of God, and the reason that he has us here, I believe that we need an awareness of where the time is. I don't know if you've ever watched a football game and the quarterback lost the sense of where the time clock was. I don't remember what the play clock is, but they've got to get the playoff in a certain amount of time. Or worse yet, they don't realize that the end of the game is fast approaching. There's a monumental task in front of them. They've got to succeed or they're going to lose, and they end up losing simply because they lost awareness of where the time clock was. I know people that thought they had all the time in the world, and they didn't realize that they were on the threshold of eternity. So don't live your life stewarding God's resources as if God's not paying attention, because he is. Don't steward God's resources in an abusive manner, because he knows it. Don't steward God's resources in such a way that you lose perspective on the fact that today could be the day that you have to give an account for what you have done. What happens to this guy? He is appointed a portion with the unbelievers. Earlier, he had been appointed as an authority over the servants of his household. And now, because of his behavior, he's appointed his portion with the unbelievers. That's the thing we are trying to prevent. There are things in my life right now that I do because I don't want to be caught up or labeled an unbeliever. I don't want you to either. Let's go out and be a faithful, wise steward of what God's given to us. See you tomorrow, right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Blood.